The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. If you are new to the broadcast here on Facebook Live, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And again, we welcome everybody hopping on here today. We've got a triple header lined up for you today. Before we get started on that, I want to encourage everyone that's going to be hopping on here today and watching this live or by the rebroadcast of this to not forget to download our free app. If you've not downloaded it yet, again, it is available on Android. It's available on Apple, and it's free for your convenience. Again, if you're listening to this, just type in End Time Headlines in there in your Apple store, Android store. You're going to see our official ETH logo come up. Download that app. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of every one of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as keeping up with our latest podcast that you can either watch or listen or both at your convenience. So we appreciate you guys hopping on here today. So again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder of The Voice and the pastor of End Time Headlines. And today we've got a triple header lined up today. I'm going to be talking about two polls that have come out recently, some shocking information that is going to give more credence to the fact that we are indeed experiencing, witnessing, and seeing the falling away that the Apostle Paul warned about that would be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. So on our first half, we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to shift gears. I'm going to tell you about a new warning that's coming from the Department of Homeland Security that is in regard to houses of faith. So without further ado, let's get started on this. This was a new poll that was done, new information coming out from the ChristianPost.com. And here's the headline: Americans increasingly ditching religious marriages for secular interfaith relationships. Again, let me read that again. Americans are increasingly, and I would have a hunch that it's not just Americans, it's probably even outside of America, are ditching more and more, ditching religious marriages for secular interfaith relationships. So let's talk about this today. According to the report, 50 years ago, religious marriage ceremonies were the normal.
In 1960, most Americans did not live alone. Just 13% reported living by themselves. According to new data from the U.S. Census Bureau, over the past decade, that number jumped by 4 million. This year, 37 million people reported living by themselves in the United States. That's about 28% of all households across the country and 15% of the overall population. Researchers say it's rising ranks of senior citizens as well as younger Americans who are waiting longer to hit major life milestones like marriage and having children than previous generations did. And that's not all. Only half of American adults are living with a spouse, down from 52% a decade ago. At the same time, the number of Americans living with an unmarried partner is rising. 8% of American adults live unmarried with a partner, almost double the 4.1% rate the Census Bureau measured in 2001. Data analysts say it's a long-time trend.
The American dream used to be all about that white picket fence, 2.5 children, and maybe a dog. But clearly, times have changed, and so has the perception of family. As U.S. population growth slows to a crawl, fewer Americans are making their way down the aisle.
Most people got married to someone who shared their faith, and just a small fraction of husbands and wives were in relationships where no one practiced a religion. Let me say that again. You go back 50 years ago, I would even say, I wouldn't even have to go back that far. I've been doing this thing for 23 years, going on 24 years in ministry. And I can tell you, even when I got saved in 2000, 22 years ago, in the church, it was predominantly normal for believers to understand the importance of entering into a covenant of marriage with someone who was equally yoked with the same belief system, who believed like you did, who understood and believed the Bible like you did, who had a strong foundation in the Word like you did, who had understanding of prayer, understanding the importance of attending church or being a part of a gathering of other believers, and all these fundamentals. So I wouldn't have to go, we wouldn't have to go back 50 years, in my opinion. However, according to this latest poll, the trend, according to the American National Family Life Survey, is now on the decline as the influence of religion. Now, what's causing this? According to this survey, the influence of religion in society has been progressively fading. Biblical terms, falling away. Remember that? The Apostle Paul said that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord and the end of the age would there would be a falling away or defection of faith, a turning from the faith. He wrote in one of his letters to 1 Timothy in chapter 4, he said that the Holy Spirit inspired him and told him that some would depart the faith and they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Remember that? So this is more credence to this. The survey of 5,030, I don't understand why they did an additional 30. They could have kept it simple, keep it at 5,000. But nevertheless, 5,030 adults nationwide were surveyed and conducted by the American Enterprise Institute between November 23rd and December the 14th of last year, 2021. It discovered that while 81% of couples who got married before 1972 wed someone of the same faith, only 52% of couples who got married in the last decade reported being in some faith marriages. Let me say that again. That's a huge drop, guys. That's nearly 30% drop from 1972 till now, where there was the importance of, or that they felt the necessity of marrying in the same faith. Over the same period, secular marriages also grew from 3 to 16% of all marriages. At least 40 years ago, some 72% of Americans surveyed reported having a religious wedding ceremony with a religious leader presiding it. However, some 49% of the weddings recorded in the last decade alone were secular in nature. What does that mean? It means God was nowhere in the equation. Quote, newly married couples are eschewing religious wedding ceremonies that connected them to existing traditions and communities, preferring instead celebrations that reflect their own personal taste and preferences. In other words, we don't need God. We don't need the Bible. We're going to do our own preference and what we want. According to an author who conducted this study named Daniel Cox, who is a senior fellow in polling and public opinion at the American Enterprise Institute and the director of the Survey Center of American Life. Only 46% of Americans who are married today report that they were married by a religious leader in a church or other religious setting. Some 16% said they were married by a religious leader in a secular setting, while another 36% said their wedding was entirely secular. Let me read on. Only 30% of Americans who were married within the past decade report having their ceremony in a church at all, house of worship, or other religious locations and officiated by a religious leader. Interfaith marriage, which by definition is a union between people who have different religious traditions, has also grown increasingly common and make up 14% of all marriages. Let me say that again. Interfaith. In other words, let me show you an example. The husband, let's just say hypothetically, the husband is a practicing Muslim. and the wife is a practicing, professing Christian. This is what this is talking about. They don't hold the same values of faith. Two opposing viewpoints. In my opinion, two opposing gods. Now, I know there's Christian pastors out there, quote unquote Christian pastors, and there's Christian, quote unquote, evangelists and big time speakers out there and authors of books that will tell you that the God of the Muslims and the God of Christians are the same God, but I do not believe that. I don't believe that Allah and Yahweh is the same God. I don't believe that the God that the Muslims are praying to is the same God that the Christians are praying to. Don't shout me down. Don't send me any hate emails because I won't read them anyway. And I'm just going to preach on regardless. Despite the general warning of religious influence on marriages in general, some faith groups, particularly practicing Mormons and Protestants, were found to be more likely to marry someone of the same faith than any other religious group. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Because listen, let me tell you, among professed Christians, oh, I'm going to ruffle some feathers on this. Listen, this is the opening kicking off of the segment, guys. This is only the first introduction of the three reports I'm giving you today. So if you're going to get offended by this one, just hold on. I'm surely going to offend you before we get to the end of it. But among professed Christians, I'm going to tell you the two most prominent things that I see as being in ministry for 23, going on 24 years, this one right here is going to hit home. And I guarantee you, it's going to hit a lot of individuals behind this microphone. Number one is they are unequally yoked. Now, what are you talking about? Let me give you what the Apostle Paul said. Well, you sound like one of them old school religious Pharisee preachers. Yeah, probably so. But I tell you right now that I practice some of those old school practices, and it must be working because my wife and I are going on, 23 years of marriage, and we are still together. We're still faithful. We still love one another. And we're still going strong because of these radical, religious, pharisaical regulations that we placed on our marriage. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. Listen what he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Stop. What does this mean? Well, we could go into all kinds of different directions. Let me just give it to you the way I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Let me pull back this PowerPoint and talk to you for a second. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do you know that most problems and troubles that younger, immature, milk-eating Christians get into more than anything, you know what causes most of the problems is because they're yoked with people and relationships that they shouldn't be in the first place. Let me elaborate. They're not willing to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. They love God. They want to keep going to church. They want to keep reading the Bible. They want to obey the Lord. Until it comes to separating themselves from the friends that keep getting them in trouble, from the friends that keep wanting them to smoke dope with them. Come on, I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit your home. I'm coming knocking at your house right now. They don't want to leave the friends that they're yoked with or the family members that still want to hang out at the bar and hang out at the club and hang out on Friday night and have some beers and smoke some dope and do this and do that. And then they wonder why. They say, why? They come to church and they feel convicted. They don't feel God. They don't feel his presence. They feel far away from God. They don't understand why they don't have confidence in their prayer. They don't have confidence that God hears them. They don't have confidence when they do their devotion. And they don't understand why they keep backsliding. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and speaks to a preacher like me, who's considered to be old school, and says, could it be possible that God is telling you to separate yourself from the people and the influences that keep leading you astray? They keep you in bondage. They keep you in addictions. They keep you in cycles. God's not able to liberate you from them. He's not able to elevate you. He's not able to promote you. He's not able to speak to you. He's not able to get you to the level where he wants you of maturity, because you refuse to come out from among them and you refuse to be unequally yoked, or you refuse to be yoked with someone on the same level. Now, that's just talking about relationships as far as friends and as far as co-workers, but then we get to the marriage issue with this. I can't tell you how many times I've seen women, they're like, yeah, you know, I met so-and-so and he says he loves God, and he says he's religious, and he says he's spiritual, okay? And then you talk to him. How often does he go to church? Well, he doesn't really go to church. He doesn't believe in organized religion. Well, does he read his Bible? Yeah, but he doesn't really read his Bible, because his theory is the Bible was written by man, and it's got a lot of contradictions, so he doesn't really read the Bible, but he's spiritual. He believes that there's something supernatural out there. Well, does he pray? Well, he doesn't really pray, but he does light candles. And he meditates. And he goes to get his fortune read and all this stuff. And she's like so enamored by his looks and by his charisma and how much money he's got. Come on, is this too real for people? Is this too personal? And so she ignores all the warning signs. She ignores the fact that they're unequally yoked. Let me go back to the scripture. There's a reason why Paul said this. Look at this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Well, he said he doesn't want to wait until we get married to have sex. Run. Well, he says he don't really want to go to church with me because it's not his thing. Run. He said he don't really want to read the Bible because he doesn't believe in it. Run. Well, he says he would pray, but he doesn't really believe in that kind of thing. Run. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Listen, you've heard me talk about this. If you guys are regular viewers on this podcast, on this broadcast of this ministry, when I got saved in 2000, one of the very first things that God began to speak to me about was separating myself from the crowd and from the friends and from the influence that I was yoked with. Now, what does yoked mean? Yoked means, listen, let me give it to you plain and simple. If you are so intertwined with one another, you know, there's something what we call in Christian circles called soul ties. And I know they've emphasized the fact that if you have sex outside of marriage and you're fornicating, you can have soul ties. Yes, that's true. But did you know you can have soul ties with your best friend? Listen, if the Lord speaks to you to separate from someone because it's going to jeopardize your walk with God, there is a reason for it. Is it black and white? Let me go to the book. I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I just feel like teaching today. I know we've talked about Russia. We talked about Gog and Magog and prophecy. But today, I just got a teaching spirit on me today. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to get this off of my chest. In 1 Corinthians 5, there is a boy or a young man in the church of Corinth, and he is having sexual relations with his mother-in-law. The Apostle Paul finds out about this. It's reported back to him. So the Apostle Paul writes the church of Corinth, writes the pastor, and he rebukes the pastor because no one is dealing with the sin that's in the church. And he said, why isn't this being dealt with? He said, and he gives them instructions on what to do and how to do it and why to do it. Read it. It's in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, you need to give that boy over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that in the end his soul may be saved. In other words, you are to disfellowship him. Why? Because he is actively living in sin, committing fornication, adultery, if you want to be technical, sexual immorality, all under the umbrella of sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality, sodomy, adultery, all that is under the umbrella of sexual immorality. So Paul tells the pastor, this is what you're going to have to do. This is the instructions I'm giving you to deal with it. And then he tells them why. He said, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And he says, if you let this go unchecked, he said, you are openly advocating sin in the camp. And before you know it, it won't be one man sleeping around. It'll be three of them. And then it'll be this woman over here doing this. And before you know it, it's going to turn into a complete mess. And you're going to lose your whole church. And the Holy Spirit's just going to check out at the door and say, see you later. And go down to the next church where they are fasting and they are praying and they are separating themselves. And they believe in holiness and righteousness and preaching on sin. But here's what's interesting. Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, and he says to them in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 5, listen to this, I wrote to you in my epistle, do not keep company with sexually immoral people. Let me read on. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company or be yoked with anyone named a brother, or let's use modern vernacular, anyone who claims to be a Christian who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, an extortioner. Don't even eat with them. Listen, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Now, who are outside? What does that mean? Outside of the covenant. The individuals who have no understanding. That's not who we're talking about today. I want to preface that. We're not talking about sinners, unregenerated individuals, unbelievers. They're ignorant. They don't understand. The God of this world has blinders on them. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 2. There's blinders on them and they don't understand the truth. We are speaking to believers, professed believers who claim the name of Christ, who claim to be Christians, who listen to me, who number one, don't read the Bible. Number two, they know the Bible or hear the Bible and they blatantly ignore it. Yeah, I know the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to do what makes me feel good. And Paul is addressing believers in Corinth and he's telling them, if you know a brother or a sister in Christ who claim to be believers, who claim to be Christians. Listen, if there's anything that really fires me up, this is the thing. We see it all the time. I'm a Christian. And they, and when they open their mouth and talk, what comes out of their mouth is so filthy in their language that I have to cover my kids' ears. I'm a Christian, yet they're consuming things and putting things in their body that alters their way of thinking, and their actions liberates them, intoxicates them. I'm a Christian, and they advocate things that the Bible calls an abomination. I'm a Christian, and they promote and advocate the shedding of innocent blood like it's no big deal. I'm a Christian, and they hate another brother or sister because they are a different color or ethnicity than them. Oh, I'm going to preach in your home right now. I told you, everybody thought I was going to give some prophetic message today. No, I'm plowing today. Listen, what Paul said, if they claim to be a Christian and they are openly practicing and living a lifestyle like this, you don't even have any business going out to eat with them, let alone be yoked with them. So listen, I'm still on the subject right now. I thought you were talking about marriage. I am. You need to do an extreme vetting process when it comes to your future spouse, husband, wife, whoever it is. You need to really get, you listen, I don't care. They could say they pray and they fast and they give to the work of the kingdom and they honor God and they're in covenant with God and they go to church. Listen, you'll know, spend time with them and see their lifestyle. I don't want to hear lip service. I want to see it in action. That's what you need to tell them. And then you can determine whether or not you should be yoked with them. Now, let me hit on the second part of this. I've got one edge of the sword just now. I probably run some people off right there that got ticked off. Let me give you the other side of the sword. And this one's really going to tick people off. Ready? Watch this. Let me read. Since we're talking about the Apostle Paul, we're talking about the Church of Corinth. Let me read what he wrote to the Church of Corinth in chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Let me make that real clear, since nobody else, no, most preachers won't preach this anymore. Do you know not, or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Listen to this. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, my pastor says that God is a loving God and his grace covers all that, and I can just live whatever lifestyle I want. Run. And your pastor is in error. I don't care what your pastor says. What does the Bible say? So listen to me. We old timers have a saying called shacking up. So if you're shacking up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you claim to be a Christian and you have no intention on getting married, well, we don't need to get married. We're just going to live together and we're just going to keep fornicating. Hallelujah. Because we're under grace and we're under mercy and we just going to slip on into the kingdom. Well, honey, I got news for you. You're going to have a rude awakening on the day. Because my Bible doesn't say that. So if your preacher says that, you need to run. See, now, Brother Ricky, this is why my pastor says he doesn't want me listening to you, because you say stuff like this. Listen, the problem is we've got believers that are so accustomed to getting their ears scratched with their itching ears, and they have rejected anyone that comes along and rubs a little salt in the wound. They don't want anything like this. Instead, they want, come on, they want the smooth. They want the ear tickling. They want the comfort in their lifestyle and their sin. So guys, we shouldn't be surprised by this. These surveys like this are only fuel to the fire, to the fact of the urgency that we are indeed in the end times. But we got to move on. I got another. I told you we got a triple header. All right. Oh boy. Here's another one. Ready? This one is also from the ChristianPost.com. Credibility of pastors is waning as influence of Christianity is losing cultural dominance. Wow. Let me say it again. Credibility of pastors is waning as influence of Christianity is losing cultural dominance. Fewer than half of American adults, including non-Christians, now see pastors as very reliable. Isn't this sad? When it comes to handling spiritual matters and the share of pastors who believe the general public sees them that way is even lower. This is according to a newly published data from the Barna Research. The research which inquired about pastors' general trustworthiness and credibility was included in The Resilient Pastor, which was a book by the Reverend Glenn Packham, released on February the 15th. It offers pastors and Christians a way to remain resilient in their calling as they contend with the challenges of a world where Christianity no longer holds a dominant place in culture. Quote, listen to this. Pastors are no longer perceived as a credible voice or a trustworthy source of wisdom on much. According to the author, he explains in an excerpt of the book, quote, churches don't have much of a role in a community unless they can provide tangible help or practical care. And people aren't likely to turn to a church for help when facing difficulties or crisis. In fact, Christianity is just one way of making meaning of this world, and it isn't really even a respected way. For many, it's archaic. It's outmoded, it's outdated, it's prude and rude. The author, who's a senior fellow at Barna Group, is also an associate senior pastor at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he is also the lead pastor of New Life Downtown. The data reveals that when asked if pastors are a trustworthy source of wisdom, some 57% of Americans in general said pastors are at least somewhat wise. When the data is further broken down, however, only 23% of all adult Americans agree that pastors are, quote, definitely a trustworthy source of wisdom. Among Christians, the figure increases to 31%, but drops to 4% among non-Christians. Larger shares agree that pastors were somewhat a trustworthy source of wisdom, with 40% of Christians agreeing to this assessment. So what's going on here? Why is the trustworthiness of quote-unquote pastors waning? Why are they no longer credible? Well, hello, can I give you a couple insights of why? Let's talk about this. One is you've got a lot of pastors. If I didn't make you mad on the last segment, this is going to make you mad, probably. This is multi-faceted reasons. Ready? Number one, we should have learned from the last election cycle that you've got a lot of professed Christians that put politicians on the throne above God. So that, listen to me, when their politician doesn't make it, or isn't where they desire for them to be, or not in the picture of influence, then they no longer have faith in God, or they just kind of fall away from the fall to the wayside. If that's the case, friends, then my God, your faith was in a man and a politician and not in God. I'm going to say, listen, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament, and it was never God's will for a man to rule over the people, for them to look to that man, but it was God intended it to be a theocracy. When Saul was not God's first choice. Saul was the will of the people. And the people wanted the ruler over them. They wanted a king. And it grieved the Lord. But the Lord said, look, these people want it so bad, they're going to get what they want. But in the end, it's going to come back to bite them. Okay? When we lose the voice of the prophets, we begin to invest and put our faith in the voice of the politicians. Let me say it again. When we lose the voice of the prophets in the church, we begin to put all of our trust and our faith in the voice of the politicians. Now, look, this ain't a slam on Trump. This is a slam on politics. Let me give you the truth. I hate politics. I don't like politics. I'm old school. When I was raised, my stepfather used to tell me politicians are like car salesmen. They have silver tongues and they will tell you whatever you want to hear to get your vote, to get the car that they want to sell you. I don't trust any of them. None of them. I don't care if they're a donkey. I don't care if they're an elephant. I don't care if they're red. I don't care if they're blue. I don't care what they say. I don't trust any of them. And in my opinion, they're all puppets on the same string being pulled by the same wizard behind the curtain. There, I'm glad I said it. I'm going to get it off my chest. And I'm telling you, too many of God's people are putting their faith in people and politicians and not in God, and God is fed up with it, and I believe God is sick of it. And listen to me, it could be the fact that God is beginning to pull the rug out from under people's trust in politicians and people in power, so that they will be humbled and begin to cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven. Listen, the last time I checked in my Bible, it says when God's people humble themselves and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, it says, then shall God hear from heaven and heal their land. Who's going to heal their land? God, not a politician. So that could be one reason. Could be. I could be totally wrong, but I have a hunch that I'm not. Could be. Then here's another reason. Another reason why the faith in pastors is waning is because of all the celebrity pastors that we have out there. And if you don't think we have quote unquote celebrity pastors, do you know that there is an Instagram page that is devoted to shoes? And we're not talking about just any shoes. We're talking about big time expensive shoes. What is it called? Preachers with Sneakers, I think it's what it's called. You can go look it up. It's on Instagram, or it used to be. And all these preachers would boast about their shoes and get on there and take pictures of the shoes. And we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars worth of shoes. And they would boast of their elaborate lifestyles. Good grief. We had a reality television show about bishops and preachers out of LA. And then they did one on the West Coast. They did one on the East Coast, made a whole reality television show out of it. And then you watch this reality television show, and this is the perception that we want of shepherds shepherding a flock. Does it line up with the Bible? And you've got, and I don't have to name names, but you've got, it seems like every month, this pastor has fallen into immorality. This pastor has fallen into a scandal. This pastor has fallen into adultery. They come out that this pastor was living an alternative lifestyle. And it comes out, this pastor no longer believes in God. He's an atheist. And what's interesting is when you begin to do a check on this, you'll discover that they begin to isolate themselves from any accountability. And when you isolate yourself from accountability, you begin to put yourself out there as a lone ranger. And then there is no one to hold you accountable. Did you know I am accountable to my pastor? I sit under my pastor here in Monroe, Georgia, and under my church, and we have a group of elders that I sit under. They don't think they don't. They watch my podcast. They watch my message. Listen, I teach a class there. I preach there. They know exactly what I teach and preach. And if it didn't line up with this, then they would tell me to sit down, and I would not be preaching and teaching there. So I'm not telling you guys anything that I'm not practicing here. But we have these celebrity preachers and pastors that are kind of like, I call them the untouchables. You know, some of these guys, they show up in limos and they have an honorarium of an X amount of dollars, and they won't even step foot in your church unless they get this certain amount of money, and it's an exponential amount of money, and that doesn't include a special offering that gets taken up. Listen, I can tell you firsthand from being at certain churches, I will not name names, and I will not name the churches or the pastors, but I'm telling you, there is big-time evangelists that I could name to you right now, and they would not even show up at the church unless they got picked up. One individual said, I will not come to your church, not my church, but a church, unless I get picked up in a limo, and it has to be a white limo, and I have to stay at this certain place, and it's got to be a certain liking, and I have to have a certain honorarium of money before I even step foot in your church. If it does not meet this criteria, I will not step foot in your church. You know what I would have said if I was the pastor? Fooey on you. I don't need you. I'm good. You ain't nobody special that I am going to rob from my congregation so that I can accommodate your lifestyle. Unbelievable, guys. So again, this is not a shocking thing to me. But it's sad because it's we're losing. True shepherds are now feeling the ramifications of this. And you could see it in social media posts. You can see it online. You can see the hurt. You can see the wounds coming from people who's been directly impacted. Guys, I have been a victim to this. I know what it's like to sit under a shepherd who committed adultery and split the church. I understand this. I know this. I can feel this. I can relate with this. But again, I'm telling you, accountability, accountability, accountability. We just had a recently, and one of these pastors is huge, and I can name names, but I'm not. But they're big online social media. They're a huge influencer on social media. They've got a big church. They're always in the news. But this individual willfully divorced his own wife and married his secretary. But you know what? He's charismatic. And he can preach the house down, and he's controversial, and he preaches it like it is. And that is more important to the people than honoring his wife, honoring his marriage. Listen, here's what's interesting. Let me give you some scripture. I want to show you this. When you go to the book of Acts chapter 6, listen what it says. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in their daily distribution. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 6. Listen to this. Then the 12 This is the 12 apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, quote, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men. Now listen to these three criterias. They sought out seven men. Here's the criterias. Give me seven men that can preach the house down. No. That can give everybody that goosebumply feeling. No. That's controversial. No. That has a huge social media following. No. That supports the politician that I like. No. It says, seek out seven men. Listen to this. Of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Let me say that again. Oh, what would happen today, friends, if we sought out preachers and sought out pastors and sought out evangelists and sought out men and women of God that had a good reputation? Come on. Are they known for splitting churches? Are they known for being a Jezebel that's destroying marriages? Are they known for causing trouble? Are they troublemakers? Are they gossips? Are they slanderers? Are they church splitters? Or do they have a good reputation? Here's another one. Are they full of the Holy Spirit? Or do they attack the Holy Ghost? They attack, come on, men and women of God that believe in signs, wonders, and miracles, and raising the dead and casting out devils. Jude says they are contentious people not having the Spirit. Listen, I don't want, if I had a church, which I have pastored a church before, a brick and mortar church in Indiana, there is no way I would have anybody on my staff that is influenced, that has influence over people, whether it's preaching or teaching or counseling, that does not believe in the Holy Spirit or is not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I definitely wouldn't have anybody on my staff that does not have a good reputation. And the third one is, find me men of wisdom. Good, practical wisdom. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm looking for. And it says, whom we may appoint over this business. Do you see that? That's in the book of Acts chapter 6. And then I'm going to show you another verse here. According to 1 Timothy 3:1-7, listen to the qualifications of a bishop in the Bible. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, then he should just get a social media outlet. No, then he should join a prophetic apostolic network. No, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he can just call himself a bishop. No. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires a good work. But let's read on. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. I said one wife, not a wife in seasons. You know, like a lot of these bishops are doing right now, that are claiming that God gave them a wife for this season, but then God spoke to them and said to divorce that wife and go find another wife so that God can take them to their next season. And before you know it, in 3 years, they've had seven seasons and a wife for every season. Oh, and by the way, just throwing that out there, it says a bishop must be the husband of one wife, not partner, wife. They must be temperate, sober-minded. If your bishop, come on, if your bishop is spending the weekends rolling up blunts and smoking them all the time and has no conviction over it, and they call themselves a bishop, run. They must be of good behavior. They must be hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine. Hello. Not violent, not greedy for money. Well, that disqualified about 95% of them. There goes the networks. There goes the reality television show. There goes your preachers with sneakers. Here's the question. Where are they getting all the money to get those shoes? They must be gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Quote, listen to this. For if a man does not even know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That's not my words. That's the Apostle Paul's. Not a novice. In other words, I don't believe an 18-year-old has any business pastoring a church. Lest being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. I just told you who are those that are outside. What's his testimony on the outside of the church? Yeah, we know Bishop, and he's a great guy. Or we know Bishop. Oh, yeah, you know Bishop. Yeah, so quote-unquote Bishop. Yeah, you know, the dude that cusses everybody else out at Walmart. You mean the guy that rips everybody off? You mean the guy that is sleeping around, and we know for a fact that he's committing adultery with this girl and this girl and this girl? Yeah, we know Bishop. It says, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Again, guys, this stuff is not, and listen, we're going to push off. I was going to do three segments or three different reports on this, talking points, but there's no way I can get the third one in. We've gone too long. So we'll push it off till Monday. We'll talk about that Monday. So we've covered a lot of ground on this today. This is a lot to consume, a lot to digest. Listen, we're getting ready to pray. And we're going to pray about these categories today. Before we do that, again, as always, guys, we want you to make sure that you keep up with our ministry. Don't rely on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Don't rely on those. I'm not saying don't use them because we're there. But again, the clock's ticking. Stay informed. Get the app. Download it. It's free. It's on Apple. It's on Android. Go to those stores. Type in Intime Headlines. Get into your hands. Push yes to push notifications. Get all of our news and headlines and get our podcast for free. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is always a continual source of information on a week-to-week basis, it blesses you, encourages you, equips you week-to-week, week-in and week-out. We want you to pray. We don't manipulate you. We don't twist your arm. We don't make you false, empty promises, and we don't command God to do this and do that. I don't believe in all that stuff. I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak. Listen, when I get fed by the teachers and ministers that I sit under and the churches that I sit under, I will want to and desire to sow into them, because as I get fed, I sow into them. And I believe that it's a principle. So again, depending on your relationship with our ministry, for some of you, this might be your home church because you don't have any other option. And we understand that. So just pray as the Lord leads you to partner with us. And you can do that two different ways. You can give by the app. That's the easiest way. If you got the app, just click on donate. You can give electronically there or give by the main website. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, listen, I believe we've got two groups of people today that's watching. One group of individuals, maybe you're listening to this, and maybe right now maybe you're one of those individuals that you're shacking up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You're living in sin and you know that, and today's message has convicted you. The Holy Spirit's convicted you. The Word of God has convicted you. And you know, you've got to get married. You've either got to break it up, separate, or you're going to have to get married. Or maybe one of these individuals, and you're in a relationship with someone, you're not married, you're not engaged, you really have feelings for them, but you've just got this check in your spirit because something's not right. And maybe it's a huge red flag. Maybe we touched on that today. They don't want to go to church with you. They don't want to pray with you. They don't want to read a Bible with you. They don't want anything to do with God. Then guys, this is a huge red flag for you, and you need to be obedient to the word of the Lord and come out from among them and be separate. So we're going to pray for that group. Then this other group over here, maybe you've been hurt and you've been wounded by a pastor of your church or a church. And because of that wound, it's festered and it's caused you to not have any desire to get back into the church, to be a part of any group, a Bible study, a home group meeting, or even it's made your heart kind of cold and hardened towards the things of God. We want to pray for these groups of individuals right now. So listen, if you're in this group over here, you're shacking up, you're living in sin, or you're unequally yoked, let's pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give strength to those brothers and sisters that are watching and listening today, because they know what they've got to do. They know that the decision that they're about to embark into is going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and by wisdom, they can make this decision. And Lord, the devil is trying to convince them that they will never find anybody else out there like them, and that they have so much in common with them and all this, but this is a huge red flag. And the devil has convinced you that if you separate from your boyfriend or girlfriend and tell them that you want to stop fornicating and living with them and get married like you're supposed to before God, the devil's trying to tell you that they're going to leave. Well, you know what? If they can't wait for you to do what God tells you to do and to be obedient to God, then you don't have any business to be with them. Listen, I don't want to leave you hanging there. Here's the truth. That means that God has somebody out there that is meant to be for you and that will honor your request, that will honor the Lord, and they will obey his word. And God will bless you for that, friend. He will bless you for your bold decision that you've got to make today for the kingdom of God. The Bible says that no man leaving husband, fathers, wives, brothers, sisters, friends, lands, whatever, for the kingdom's sake will not be blessed in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. Now, the second group of individuals over here, we pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today, God, specifically for the wounded, those that have been wounded by shepherds and those over authority over them, that maybe those shepherds have fallen, they have let them down, they have deceived them, whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray for healing to come in the hearts and the lives of those impacted today. Lord, I pray that they would not abandon the faith over this wound, but this wound would be healed and it would be restored and they would be reconciled back into the kingdom and back into the flock today. Lord, let them know that you love them and you didn't wound them, you didn't hurt them. And Lord, may they understand that they're taking it out on you, and it was never your fault. It was never your intention. In fact, your word says that we are to put our trust in you and not in man. We can put confidence in man, but our trust must be in God, because men will fail us, but God will never fail us. And Lord, I pray that you would give people that revelation today. We pray for these things today. We pray for healing today, reconciliation today, and we pray for obedience to be the beacon that guides you through what you're going to have to go through today. And I thank you, God, for the blessing that's on the other end of this thing for obedience. And we thank you today. And it's in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen and amen. Listen, guys, thank you for hopping on today again. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the bell for the push notification, depending on what platform you're on. Don't forget to share this message today. And we're going to sign off for this weekend. I pray the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his angels be released in your behalf and keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. I profess the blood of Jesus over you this weekend. Continue, Lord, we continue to lift up and pray for our Ukrainian and Russian brothers and sisters caught in this mess over there. And I pray, Father, that you bring a quick resolve to this. And Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would have your way. And guys, we're going to sign off for today, and we'll see you guys on Monday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.